Good evening and welcome. I'm Kelly Richards, CEO of the All Access Group and the host of All Access Radio. I've spent over two decades as a catalyst and trailblazer in the digital music and entertainment arena. As a superconnector, I create powerful alliances at the nexus of technology and entertainment, bringing together leading innovators, entrepreneurs, and forward-thinking creative talent. And as a trusted advisor, I work with high achievers as a strategist and coach, ensuring they have the insights, expertise, support, and connections they need to create greater impact and more meaning in their work and in their lives. Tonight's guest on the show is Dr. John Amaral. John is a chiropractor and holistic wellness expert, as well as the co-founder of the Wellbeing Center of Santa Cruz. As a practitioner of NSA, or Network Spinal Analysis, John has worked with thousands of people from over 50 countries around the world to reap the benefits of his holistic approach in order to eliminate pain and completely transform their lives. With his private practice in Santa Cruz, John continually seeks the most innovative methods for elevating the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual well-being of his patients. Currently, John is launching an exclusive new program called Body-Centered Leadership, which will accept only 16 qualified applicants. Welcome to the show, John.
Thank you, Kelly. Hi.
So, John, before we move on to a more business-oriented chat, I'd love for you to share with our listeners more about what motivates you, some of what your passions are that drive this focus, both on a personal and professional arena.
Well, you know, really what motivates me, Kelly, is creativity and progress, really, and seeing what can happen with people when they are, you know, full of energy, when they're in their most resourced mode. And that's what gets me excited and juiced to work with people and to help them connect into that place where they can really create at a high, high level.
Yeah. And that's a pretty worthy objective to get out of bed for in the morning, I would say.
It is, yeah, for sure.
So, John, you grew up in Santa Cruz, and I understand you were quite the athlete when you were younger, a champion wrestler in high school, and yet you studied fine arts in college. Tell us about these different sides of yourself, if you would.
Well, yeah, I started out I would say that my focus was in the physical. I mean, that was my experience. I grew up without a lot of really connection on the inside, and so what I could see and what I could measure on the outside is where I started to excel. So, you know, I applied myself in sports, and I became really, you know, a very high-level athlete, and yet I had an artistic side, and the way that I expressed emotion and the way that I expressed myself and created, and that's critically important to me is the process of creating, that came out through my artwork. And so I went into college with a working towards a degree in fine arts, and in the course of the study, I really started to find a passion for the human body and for health.
And then what was the transition point that made you actually decide how to channel that passion towards chiropractic and go to chiropractic college after that?
Well, it's interesting. I'd never been to a chiropractor when I went into chiropractic college. I actually signed up and attended without ever having had a chiropractic visit, which a lot of people find kind of comical.
It's very funny.
But what happened is the instructor that I was studying with, I took an anatomy course in my fine art degree, and I took the actual anatomy course with cadavers and the whole nine yards with pre-med students because I wanted to learn how to draw the human body as you know, absolutely perfectly as possible. And so I was taking this course, and the guy that was teaching it happened to be a chiropractor who was retired, and he was teaching the course. And he said, you know, you're doing fine art. You're aging this class. He's like, you should go into the health field. And And then someone else told me that, and a few other people told me that. And I was training martial arts with someone, and he was going into chiropractic college, and he said to me, hey, you'd make a great chiropractor. And so people were just, you know, telling me this. And so I said, what the heck? And I checked it out, and it looked you know, like a great profession, health and vitality with no medicine, no drugs or surgery. And I just decided to go into chiropractic without any experience of it at all.
You were paying attention to the multiple messages from a source that didn't seem to make sense. But I think it was your soon-to-be wife who introduced you to the controversial therapy that would change your life, to network spinal analysis, which you described as a fringe approach at the edge of an already fringe profession. So tell us a little bit about your first encounter with NSA and why you were skeptical at first, if you were.
I was definitely skeptical. I came out of a world of athletics and measurement and the physical of, you know, looking at what you can see in the outside world. And I did not have a developed awareness of my emotions. I was not connected with myself in any way, shape, or form, really. I mean, I was connected in the way that I could perform. I knew how to perform in my body, but I didn't know how to have intimate connections with myself or others. Emotionally, I was not connected. And I had, as a result, severe allergies, severe eczema, severe asthma. And I was doing athletics this whole time at a very high level with all of this stuff going on. Difficulty breathing, and I was on medications for severe allergies, where I'd go in every week and get a shot, get an injection,
right,
of something for many, many years, 7 or 8 years growing up. And so I was pretty disconnected from the inner world. And what happened is, as I you know, began to experience this approach that my wife introduced me to, which she went to chiropractic college to study because of her life-changing experience with it, I started to actually, it was like the inside of me started to thaw out, if I could describe it. It was like if you think of Siberia or something, there's permafrost on the ground. It was like my body had a form of permafrost where everything was frozen and locked in this fight-or-flight mode. And I
right.
was not feeling. And so I started thawing out, and I started, the practitioners would do these little gentle touches on different parts of the body, and all of a sudden I'm feeling energy moving and feeling emotions and feeling my body just open up. And I was absolutely skeptical because the people barely touch you. They're not popping or cracking anything.
Right.
And I'm going, how the heck does this work? You know, this is, and I'm looking at it from a very scientific perspective. I'm going, there's no way. How does this stuff work? But I was having the experience. And
it's hard to argue with direct experience.
It's very difficult to argue with experience, for sure. Personal, firsthand experience.
Yeah.
And what I actually know... Go ahead.
No, you, please.
Oh. So what I experienced first, before I really even felt that much in my body happening physically, changes physically, was I started smelling things. I had been so stuffed up and clogged up because of the asthma and allergies for so many years that after my first session, the thing that I noticed the most was I went outside and I could smell the flowers. And
wow.
The olfactory, you know, the olfactory sense is tied into these deep limbic emotional brain centers. And so things were changing and reorganizing in my body and my brain and nervous system because of this work that allowed me to have a connection to my emotional brain without necessarily having a strong feeling yet, because I wasn't really ready for that.
Right.
So it was a slow thawing out for me.
But clearly, yeah, this thawing out started to take place, and you could sense that maybe there was something more to this than what other people were saying from your own personal experience. And obviously it did change your life in many ways, personally and professionally.
I went from being more of a high performer in the physical world to being someone who was connected to themselves and able to feel and have deep, intimate connection with myself and other people. And that actually, what seemed like a counterintuitive thing, because I thought, you know, if I just get it done and I do it right and I'm the best, then I will, you know, I'll be successful, quote unquote successful. And I realized that through the process of my own really waking up to my own body and feeling what was going on with me, which is what this work did for me. It like thawed me out.
Right.
Because I learned how to be able to be in relationship in an entirely new way with the world and other people.
Yeah, and I feel like that's really what it's all about. That's one of the main reasons I do coaching in the context of being a trusted advisor. I think that it's bringing awareness to people where parts of themselves have gone numb, whether physically, emotionally, mm-hmm. mentally, or any combination of all that. And I feel like it relates to a wide variety of other fields. And you yourself have worked across various disciplines as you've pursued this body of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll agree that it's all connected in terms of a person being a whole person, a holistic approach. Can you say more about that from your perspective?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is my passion, and this is where my creativity, comes in, and where I've really channeled my energy is into helping people make these connections and understand how things are interconnected. The body and mind is this one integrated organism with 75 to 100 trillion cells, and they're all interconnected with nerve tissue. And so the mind and body is not this separate thing that has to communicate to each other. It is one happening, and it's all happening at once. And so as we encounter stress, as we have physical injuries, accidents, et cetera, as we have emotional stress, as we have mental or psychic kind of stressors, and soul-wrenching stress of breakup of relationships and loss of loved ones, et cetera, the body will self-anesthetize. It will try to check out as a way to preserve ourselves and survive and make it through. And the way that we do that is we go into what we call physiologically this fight or flight state, or fight, flight, or freeze state, where we literally try to hold it all together, and we lock up the body, we breathe more shallow, we change our posturing, we begin to be more reactive and defensive in our actions and behaviors and our perceptions. And we just try to make it through rather than, flourish. And in the culture, that's what's happening. It's rampant that most people are in constant reaction,
right?
And they're in a way self-anesthetizing with whether it's literally just checking out of different parts of your body somatically. We call somatic awareness is the ability to articulate, verbalize, express a body sense or an emotion tied into your body. Most people have ways of checking out instead of having increased body awareness. They check out through, they stimulate themselves with coffee. They bring themselves down with a glass of wine. They watch TV to check out. They watch, they get on the computer, they check email. They do something to disengage from what's really being felt and what's going on in the body. And mm-hmm. so what I'm doing with people is helping them connect, and I'm helping them connect to what they're feeling that's not being expressed, recognize the patterns that are happening in their bodies and how that relates to their life around them, and giving them tools and processes that they can use is in everyday life is part of my main objective.
Yeah, and I want to be vulnerable on this call and let listeners know that I myself have experienced John's work firsthand, and that's why I felt compelled to invite him to be a guest on the show. I think he does amazing work. For people that aren't aware, there are terms thrown around, network chiropractic, somatic therapy, and they're seen as very different fields. Do you feel like you're basically combining both of those in the work that you do, John?
Well, yes, and I mean somatic therapy and somatic awareness and somatic approaches, that somatic just means body, so it's just working with and including the body as part of the physical body as part of any process, understanding that there are patterns of tension and distortions and adaptations held in the body. So there's a whole field around somatic work. And network spinal analysis is the work that was developed by my mentor, Dr. Donnie Epstein. And it has a foundation in approaches that utilize somatic awareness. So we bring it in, we integrate it in so that everything has an anchors to and is triggered by and is related to something happening with the physical body.
Mm-hmm.
And our approach is not therapeutic in that we're trying to like take you through a process to figure out why something happened or where you went or how, or regress you back or whatever, take you through a traditional therapeutic approach. We want to help it actually be experienced and resolved in your body right now so you don't have to keep repeating the pattern that that you're still reacting to sometimes from the past. I mean, people have experiences where they're kind of never again moments where there was an injury or an abuse or a situation where they said, look, I'm never going to feel that again. And so they lock up the body and they hold a certain posture.
Right,
They disconnect. So the somatic awareness and the somatic work helps you get to that stuff that's oftentimes below the radar of your conscious mind.
Yeah, as you say, I think you help reconnect people to themselves and open up those blocked channels that have been shut down for whatever reason. And it's incredibly powerful. We also hear kind of terms being thrown around in pop culture like mind-body-spirit integration. But I don't think a lot of people have a firsthand knowledge of what that means. And I think that what you do is very much a part of integrating those important aspects of ourselves. Again, so we're really one whole person and not just disconnected parts of ourselves. Why is mind-body-spirit integration important from your perspective, John?
That's a great question, Kelly. Well, it's important to me because to me it's about evolving and about evolving our awareness and increasing our self-aware consciousness because the observer that is observing our situation, observing our circumstances, observing our life that is tied into our sense of self, right? When we look out at the world and we see the world, quote unquote, out there, who's the one that's looking? Who's watching? Well, that observer, if you're in survival mode and you're just trying to make it through, then all that observer is going to observe is like what's right in front of your face.
Yes.
As you get out of the overwhelmed fight flight mode that most people live in far too often, what happens is your vantage point increases where you can actually now see the context and the meaning of things, and you can start to see, well, okay, is it even appropriate for me to even be acting as this person, or maybe do I maybe need to make up a new identity for myself because that no longer fits? I can actually create myself to be a better version of myself by seeing these patterns. Well, you don't see those patterns if you're just trying to like survive.
Right. Absolutely.
And then when you go to the next level and you have a transcendent experience where you have an experience where the observer is observing from beyond the thinking mind, that is when you can major transformation happens in people's lives because the thinker is no longer in charge and there's something that you might call spirit or soul or something beyond the thinking mind that begins to guide you. And this physiology and the brain function of fight or flight puts more blood flow and oxygen going to the lower brain, the hind brain, and the what's called the limbic system, which is the emotional reactive brain, in order to have these transcendent states and have these access to these experiences that someone might have after meditating for decades or having an awakened experience. You have to have access to, you have to have blood flow and oxygen go into the lobes of the brain called the frontal and the prefrontal cortex up at the front of the brain.
Right.
And the work that I'm doing with people, the NSA work, we've been able to have people light up that part of the brain like 7 to 10 minutes on the table at the same level as someone who's maybe meditating for 20 or 30 years. So 7 to 10 minutes to get that depth that transcends. You have to have access to that part of your brain and mind to access the part of of the consciousness that's associated with something much bigger than yourself.
And I think that that is worth putting a pin in, because I think, practically speaking, a lot of our listeners may not be necessarily looking for enlightenment, but they want to just understand how this kind of work and bringing those parts of ourselves together can actually improve their performance, whether it's sports, work, professional, personal life. You know, let's bring it back to practical day-to-day realities and why this is important for that.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, that's a fantastic thing to point out, because you can get into this esoteric conversation. But the truth is, if you look at someone like Bill Gates, or you look at some of the people that literally take a certain period of time off and pull themselves out of all busy work and take a retreat, right, to reset and connect.
A sabbatical.
Creative and a sabbatical. So, you know, most people wait to do that once or twice a year, if they even do it. And some of the great insights and visions come when you're out of the everyday thinking mind. Well, what if you could do that on a regular basis without having to step out of your life, but you had a tool or a process that you could use to instantly access that part of your brain in the midst of everything? What happens is you get this bird's eye view of everything. You start to really see what's important and what's not. Where's my energy expenditure going? Where do I need to be right now, and where do I think I need to be? And like, you start to get a new perspective that can only come when you transcend that ordinary thought process of, you know, I got to get through today, I got to do these things, you know, and everything's kind of right, urgent. And and you know, to have an extraordinary life and extraordinary experiences, you need to experience the non-ordinary. You need to go into a non-ordinary state. And from the non-ordinary, what evolves is an extraordinary experience. So part of this work of what I'm doing is helping people access that non-ordinary state of consciousness that's beyond what the thinking mind, rational mind is doing on a regular basis, tap into that super creative, open, expanded place, and then bring that into your life instantly so that you can make changes you need to make, see things the way that you or from the, like, I would say you're like your higher perspective or higher self, and
right,
get on with it.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense, and that's very practical and with obvious benefits. You know, one of my mentors, and I think we might have talked about this, Alan Weiss, advocates for a weekly sabbatical. A weekly sabbatical. Mm-hmm. I try that out on some business people. They would be smoking something. But the concept is really straightforward, whether it's a half day or a whole day, whether it's a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
During the work week, even if it's a Friday afternoon, you wind your week down to literally unplug and be with yourself and your creative mind and be open to what comes, as opposed to constantly pushing, allowing yourself to be in a different mindset, a different environment for a few hours a week. And work wonders. And again, not waiting till your 2-week vacation or your 6-month or 9-month sabbatical or whatever you get that's imposed, but that you actually take for yourself every week. I think people would be in a whole different mindset if they really were willing to do that.
Yeah, it's such a good point, Kelly, because so many people where they get stuck is that they get on this track where they feel like they can't get everything they want done. And I'm sure, you know, we can all relate to this. We've got a lot on our plate. So we got all these things to do. And it just doesn't seem reasonable. It doesn't seem like we have the time to take these sabbaticals, you know, sabbatical during the week, every week, or, you know, unhook from all electronics for the whole weekend. It just seems unheard of. It's so difficult to do. Well, you know, I believe in I'm a strong proponent of these what's called life hacking or life hacks, you know, where you can take something that would normally take a long period of time and a lot of energy and effort, and you can reduce that down to the essence of it and get it that same benefit in a fraction of the time.
Yes.
With a fraction of the energy expenditure.
Right.
So that's part of, you know, that's how I look at something like the NSA work, the what we call entrainments, the sessions that we do. It gets the brain and the body and the brain and the heart in this coherent, synchronized state that in a very short time, within, you know, minutes, puts you into a state that it might take a whole weekend vacation or sabbatical to get access to. If you can do that in 20 minutes, 15 minutes, 10 minutes.
And this is a good segue, John, if I might, to, you know, kind of summarizing over a 20-year career that you've had doing this, and you've helped people from all over the world achieve the same kind of transformational experience that you've had. Maybe you could share a little bit more about some of these technologies of transformation that you use in your toolkit to help patients along these lines.
I'm a licensed chiropractor, but what I do does not resemble what most people think of at all as chiropractic. You know, we don't do any popping or cracking or manipulation. Everything is very, when we do work on people's bodies, when I'm working on people, for example, I work on one of the people that I work with all over the world is Tony Robbins. A lot of people know Tony Robbins, the well-known personal development coach and speaker. And for the past almost a decade, I've flown around to a lot of different venues and events and do sessions with them. I'm doing work on the body, helping him get into the zone and get into the most energized state. And the technology I'm using there is something called NSA, Network Spinal Analysis. It's a particular way of working with the body and the brain and the nervous system with really gentle touch to open things up, to get the energy flowing, to get the breath expanding, to get the body in a fluid state and the consciousness in a very in-the-zone mode. Then there's another tool that we have, another technology that's called SRI, or somato-respiratory integration, and that's a set of exercises. There are 12 of them that we use with people to help them connect to their body. And if they have tension, then how can they release that tension on their own? If they have a symptom or some condition going on, how do they address that and get a real sense of what needs to shift or change rather than just go into someone to try to make it go away? So we have exercises that help you in a way be proactive and do this really brilliant kind of self-care. And then there are other elements or technologies that we use that are ways to use your energy more effectively. There's something we call the triad. The triad of change looks at the way that you utilize your perceptual expression, how you see things and feel things in the world, your behavior patterns, and the way you structure your world and your body. And we look at how those link together, and we come up with a formula that's like your particular formula for creating change the easiest, creating progress the easiest, and feeling the most fulfilled and integrated. So we have all these different tools and pieces, and those are just a handful of them that we, you know, when I say we, I mean, you know, the practitioners, including myself, that do this work around the world, and we bring all these different elements together to give people not only an experience on the table when we're working with them, but tools they can actually use in their life.
Right. And again, I've experienced some of these, so I know they're pretty powerful. Is there anything you'd like to expand on in terms of, having brought up Tony Robbins, what that experience has meant for you and your business, and you know, how, anything more to say about how it is you actually work with him and his team?
Tony's been a great influence in my life. He's someone I've been fortunate enough to spend a lot of time with. When I go to the different events, they do their Platinum Partnership events, which is his high level inner circle coaching group. I go to a lot of those events around the world. So we've been to Bali and Canada and Mexico and Ireland and Scotland, just all over the place. And what I've found through working with Tony is that he's someone who can go out on stage for 40 or 50 hours in a weekend and just deliver at an extremely high level. And you go, man, where in the heck does this guy get all this energy? It's like he can just put out energy. If anyone's ever been to a Tony Robbins event, they know that he just blows you away with the just sheer exertion of energy. And you're just inspired by, wow, where is this, all this energy coming from? Well, what they don't know is, like, behind the scenes, he's getting NSA work. He's getting sessions with, like, me or one of my colleagues several times a day. He's got other people doing other types of work with him. He's eating incredibly well. He's super hydrating. He's reducing acid in his body by keeping the temperature on stage really low. He's doing a jillion things that are, it's a system of how you need to have a system in order to function at the highest level, and it's proactive. And so I would say that what I've learned from Tony, and he's a great example of it, you consistently perform at an incredibly high level, not by just exerting and pushing through. You have to have practices that rejuvenate you, that energize you, that help you connect, help you unhook from all of the craziness and the go, go, go. And you
right.
need that time. And you may not have that much time to do this. So you need tools and processes that are like life hacks that can shorten it. And so he's a phenomenal example of that. And
that's another reason why it's important to learn these powerful tools and technologies that you have come up with and you can share with your clients. Can you share a story, John, of perhaps someone you've worked with recently that particularly moved or inspired you, a kind of before and after working with you, maybe more of a lay person than someone like a Tony Robbins?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a guy that I actually met at one of the Tony Robbins events in Bali, and he was one of the platinum partners. And so he was in some excruciating neck pain, and so his name is Phil, and I can say his name because he's actually got a video talking about this experience on my website, on the wellbeingcenter.com website. And the guy, he was in excruciating pain, and he'd had neck pain for like decades since he fractured his neck playing rugby. He's Australian.
Yeah.
He was on the rugby team. And I did a session with them because one of the coaches pulled me out of the event and said, hey, we got a guy that, is really, he's got some stuff going on. Can you work with him? So I took him into a room and I checked him out and I found some points on his neck and I used a few ounces of pressure. And the next thing you know, he was growling and crying and all his emotion was coming out and it was just so intense and decades of tension that he'd been holding in this place in his neck released in one session in about 15 minutes.
Wow.
And that was it. And it was, and what he realized in the process of it unraveling, because I wasn't just trying to adjust him to make him more comfortable. I actually was like, how can I help him connect to the energy and information that was stored in this area of tension so that he can get the wisdom from it and move on with his life? And that's how I look at it when I'm working with people. And what happened is he realized it was tied into his previous marriage. It was tied into unexpressed anger. It was tied into inability to be intimate because he was prepared for the next confrontation, so that all these realizations came to him. And he learned in that moment as the tension released, rather than just, here, let's just pop you or crack you, fix you so that you can go back to doing the same thing you were doing without learning anything.
Right.
And so Phil shares his story, and it's a great example because that's what happens with people with this work. They actually transform or change, and their observer is observing from a higher vantage point so they can see that, oh, there was a pattern here. It was beyond just the physical symptom.
Mm-hmm. That's a really powerful story and a great example. And I know there's more on the wellbeingcenter.com as well if people are curious to check it out. But now let's shift gears, if we could, John, and talk more about what I think is the really exciting new program that you're just launching this spring called Body-Centered Leadership. And I'd love for you to tell our listeners more about what it is you're doing and why you choose to work with high achievers in this program in particular.
Body-Centered Leadership is the new venture that I'm doing, and I'm doing it because I have I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of high achievers, people at the kind of pinnacle of quote unquote success in our culture, whether they're managing a hedge fund or they're CEO of a company or they're an entertainer or a pro athlete, someone who's like seen as the, they've arrived. And what I've realized in working with a lot of these people is, all of these people, is that they're human. They're just like they're not just like everyone else, and they've learned to apply themselves in an incredible way, but they're going through emotional challenges. They're going through their time crunches. They're going through their stresses, et cetera. And so what I decided is I want to work with the people that are already doing a lot for other people. They've arrived and they're contributing. They're doing a lot for others. And I want to help them have a more fulfilling and enriched experience and help them get unstuck in the places they're stuck so they can influence at a greater level. And so that's why I chose that particular group, because they're fun. It's fun to work with people who are like, let's do it. I'm ready. Let's go for it. What do I need to do? How do I apply this? You know, I want people that are really going to show up.
And that's the same rationale I apply as to why I work with those same caliber of people, because when you're at that level of success and that pinnacle of, you know, where your life has taken you, it's not by accident. It's because you do tend to be committed and be willing to look at what's next and be willing to embrace and take on things that can improve your life.
And I also recognize it's a great point, Kelly. And I also recognize in the process of working with a lot of these high performers and high achievers is that it takes an incredible amount of energy to manage what you've created.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have an empire you've built, then you now have to manage that. And managing it is not necessarily what the creators and the artists are the best at. And so that tends to stress them out, and then they lose their creative edge, and now they're like mired in all the crap. And so there's an energetic state that you need to be in when you're doing the greatest creative work, and that is what I call energy rich. And it's the state when you are so full of energy that it's coming through you and it's influencing those around you in an effortless way. You may be working hard, but it doesn't feel like struggle. It feels like this is it. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. It's flowing through me. It's happening for me, not me doing it. And so that state requires a certain physiology and a certain brain function. And that's what I can help people access on a regular basis and bring that. And this is there's a body of research behind this particular process. We've had almost, I think, 7 universities now around the world have done some research on this work, including USC Department of Engineering, UC Irvine Medical College, and a number of other universities. And we have the proof that this particular approach increases energy efficiency and increases brain and body coordination at a level that's never been seen. And so I want to take the highest performers doing the coolest stuff and contributing the most and help them optimize so that they can do it at a greater level.
Yeah,
that's where body-centered leadership came from. It's like people who are already leaders and they know there's a next level and they're managing their life at a high level, but that high level is still an energetically neutral place, except for sometimes they pop up to that super creative mode again. But there's so much to lose when you have so much. So the people oftentimes tend to kind of contract a bit, and they don't maybe go for it, or they don't feel like they have the energy to create in the same way because they are trying to hold all these things together. And that need for constancy and to keep things the same, and a need for certainty, and a need for creativity and variety and uncertainty are both important, and you got to have access to that super creative, energy-rich state in order to kind of reinvent everything if you need to go to the next level. Because everything, especially in Silicon Valley, we know this, everything constantly being reinvented and reorganized at an incredible pace.
It's true. It's true.
If your identity and your ego are all connected in.
Yeah, there are a few places that people of that stature and that level of success could even go to get this awareness, let alone the tools to make it happen. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little more pragmatically about what the program entails and maybe where some of the listeners who may be qualified to participate could go to learn more and apply for it, because you're only taking 16 people in the program.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the pilot year, and we've been doing these workshops and programs around the country for a number of years. This is the first year that I've put it together into four events. Basically, what I'm doing is we have 4 live events, these immersion events, where we're doing this intensive work on the body, and taking you through processes and exercises. My wife does this with me. And she's one of the top people in the world at this, doing this approach as well. And we take them through processes and body work, and basically it's like working on the computer hardware and upgrading your hardware system. And then at those programs, those live events, I'm bringing in people that are world-class, really high caliber, teaching different elements of things like for the first program, I have a man named Ralph Kilman, Dr. Ralph Kilman, teaching about conflict management and how to bring what he wrote a book called Quantum Organization. So it's about bringing self-aware consciousness into organizational development. So
right.
I have him coming in and we'll do processes. And then we have people, you know, teaching other pieces on intimacy and relationship, and it goes on and on. But these four live events throughout the year, quarterly, and then in between we do webinars and calls with the group, the mastermind style group, and then we also do have people who live in this area, especially would be have access to me in my private practice in Santa Cruz, and be able to come in and get care with me during the program. We do a VIP day where we just do a full kind of reboot of the system, and we teach you. We create what we call an energy dashboard, which is a kind of like an instrument panel of all these different things that you can shift and change, like little levers that you can work with throughout the year to understand how to get into this energy-rich state and stay in that zone more often. And then when you do drop down to a lower energy state and you feel crisis mode and you feel stressed, you have tools that you can use or resources you can tap into or people you can connect with in order to shift it.
Right. So it does run the course of a year. Is that right?
Yeah, it runs the course of a year. And during that year,
it's not
basically
for everybody.
What happens.
It's definitely
no,
not.
No, this is not. Yeah, it's not for everybody. This is a very high-level group. It's of the 16 spaces, 10 are already filled up now, and we have amazing, you know, just amazing high caliber individuals, mostly entrepreneurs that are very successful. Some of these people came from events and programs where I've worked with them, with Tony Robbins, et cetera.
Right.
And it's a really fantastic group of people, growth oriented, and already making a huge impact in the world, and then together we're gonna take it to the next level.
No, I have no doubt. But practically speaking, John, where could our listeners who might be qualified and interested go to learn more about body centered leadership and to apply to be part of the program?
You can find out about the program at bodycenteredleadership.com. So
okay.
It's all one stream, bodycenteredleadership.com.
Right.
Or you can search John Amaral, Body Centered Leadership, and it'll come up.
Yeah,
and you'll
coveted last six spots before they fill up, because there's no doubt they will.
We're very, very excited. This is the pinnacle of what I've been able to offer so far, and this is the first offering of it, and it's going to be growing. But this is bringing together all of the things that I have used in my own journey, and people that I've studied with, and people that I respect highly, that are really the best in the world at what they do, and they're going to be contributing, and they're doing it more as like most of them as sort of kind of giving back to me. You know, and they're going to be participating in the processes too themselves. So it's a very intimate and amazing group.
Yeah, I'm particularly excited about it for you, and I know there's going to be a number of our listeners who won't be a part of the program for various reasons. And I wonder, as we're winding our time down together, John, if you could offer one or two or three simple steps that they can take right now to start feeling more grounded and authentic and aligned and empowered in their own lives.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the foundational principles that can help people tremendously in their life dealing with any kind of physical symptom there are three parts of it. It's about connecting to your body and being with the experience rather than trying to be somewhere else. I call it the paradox of change. You can't change something to get to the next place until you first acknowledge, you know, where you are right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way you do this with your body is if you have a physical symptom, let's say you're, you have a bellyache, or you have a neck, your pain in your neck, or you have some shoulder that's bothering you, you can put your hand right on that place, right on that spot. You physically touch it, and you let yourself breathe in through the nose and out through your mouth gently, just bringing attention and focus, because breath brings awareness there. You're not trying to pump the breath into it. You're just being with it, being with yourself, like you'd hold like a child or a baby, just being with them, not trying to change it, not trying to judge it. And you touch that part of your body with focused attention, and you bring the first thing you bring to it is awareness. So you bring awareness to the feeling there, the quality there, the visual there, like what do you sense, what do you feel? Does it feel numb or disconnected? Does it feel sharp and tingly? Does it feel contracting? Does it feel inflamed? Like, notice the quality of it. Bring
mm-hmm.
awareness to it while you're touching it and breathing gently in through your nose, out through your mouth, which is grounding you and bringing you more present. The second thing is then, once you're still touching it, you want to acknowledge what you feel there. Not the story you have about it, not the words, but you want to acknowledge the actual physical feeling there. So you say, right here I feel, and you might say, well, I feel numb, or right here I feel totally, you might even be an emotion. I feel sad, or I feel scared, or I feel concerned, or I feel, it just feels hot, or it feels cool, whatever it is.
Right.
You acknowledge that. And then the last thing is you accept that by you literally bring your focus and attention to what it is, and you just actually tell yourself, I accept this experience. It's like you accept it as it is without trying to make it be different. You're not going into this exercise of touching this part of your body, bringing awareness, acknowledgement, and acceptance so that you can get to the next place and be done with the exercise. You actually, this is the paradox, you have to actually accept it as it is, be with it, and just sit with it for a moment, and then fully have the experience of being with that symptom or pattern. And what happens is when you're fully with it, it has to change, because full awareness creates transformation without having to do anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that simple process of going to your body, touching it, bringing awareness, letting the breath come in through the nose, out through the mouth, acknowledging what you feel there and accepting what's there and just sitting with it and just noticing it will, for a lot of people, oftentimes be a dramatic experience. And sometimes they'll have emotion come up. Sometimes oftentimes emotion will come up because you're finally not judging it.
And you're finally bringing awareness to it and acceptance. And when you keep breathing, that allows the energy and the awareness to move through even more. So it's just a powerful process. You could just talk about it like you did, 1, 2, 3, but I really encourage people to give it a try. And again, John has tools and reminders about this and other techniques on his website, thewellbeingcenter.com. And the work you do is nothing short of transformational. I can say that firsthand. And I'm so supportive of everything you're working on, John. It's just been a pleasure to have you. Before we wrap up our time together, though, I do like to end these fireside chats with asking a question of every guest. And you may have already answered it, but I want to ask it anyway, which is, what comes next for you? You know, what's the one project or collaboration that you've not yet begun that you dream about creating as part of your legacy? Maybe it's the Body Centered Leadership Program, but maybe it's something else.
Mm. That's a fantastic question. Yeah, Body Centered Leadership is definitely my what comes next in the near term. I mean, it's been something I've been thinking about and building really for a number of years now. And so I'm finally launching it in May, and I'm very excited about that. And then I know that's going to grow, and I think the next that's going to come out of that is the ability to influence the influencers at a greater level. And I think that I think for me is probably in the Silicon Valley. I live here in Santa Cruz. I've had, you know, wonderful connections with people
in the Silicon Valley. I've gotten to present a little bit of what I do up at Singularity University, which is, you know, at NASA Ames.
Right.
I've worked with different people, you know, in the area of Silicon Valley. And I just think that I'll be probably moving more into that to help the technology and the biology be integrated in a way that's sustainable for the future.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I think it's a missing link that Ray Kurzweil himself would have to appreciate. And, of course, he's one of the founders of Singularity University, who really resonates with this kind of thought process and the tools that you've developed. So great job all around, John. I can't wait to see what comes next. And I want to thank you again for taking the time to join us today. We'll be in touch again soon, I hope. I look forward to that. And I also want to thank our show producer, Jessica Masters, for the great job she does every week on the show, as well as our wonderful listeners. We'll hear you all again next week on the next edition of All Access Radio. Good night, everybody.